This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The jury's verdict was in: guilty on all counts. For many in Delphi, it was a moment of closure, a chance to finally breathe after 7 agonizing years. But for those paying close attention, the weight of that word, guilty, didn't quite sit right. Richard Allen, a mild-mannered CVS employee, now forever branded as the bridge guy. Yet, as the courtroom emptied and the news spread, one lingering question remained. Had justice truly been served, or was this a convenient conclusion to an uncomfortable mystery? The case was bizarre from the start. 2 vibrant, inseparable teenage girls, Liberty German and Abigail Williams, set out for a simple hike on a crisp February day in 2017. They never returned. Found the next morning, near a creek, their lifeless bodies spoke of unspeakable violence. Despite the horrors, hope had initially rested in a chilling clue left behind: a shaky cell phone video of a man following the girls on the Mononhai Bridge, his voice immortalized with the haunting command, "Guys, down the hill." For years, that grainy clip and those 4 words were the most solid evidence anyone had. Yet it wasn't until 2022 that Richard Allen, a local man who had blended seamlessly into the fabric of Delphi, was arrested. Allen's confession, made over 60 times while he was imprisoned, became the linchpin of the prosecution's case. But here's the twist. His defense argued that these confessions were the desperate ramblings of a man mentally deteriorating under harsh prison conditions. Would a jury convict a man based on admissions made in the throes of despair? Beyond the confessions, there was the infamous .40-caliber bullet said to link Allen's gun to the crime scene. But the defense dismantled the ballistic evidence, highlighting inconsistencies and raising doubts about the forensic process. A magic bullet, they called it, suggesting that the prosecution had built its case on smoke and mirrors. If a single piece of evidence could define a trial, could a single doubt unravel a verdict? And then there was the issue of the timeline. A misfiled tip from 2017, a volunteer file clerk's discovery 5 years later, pointed investigators back to Allen. It wasn't exactly a textbook example of investigative prowess. Could such a glaring error be ignored even if it ultimately led to the right suspect? Inside the courtroom, emotions ran high. Families grieved openly, their pain palpable, as they recounted the bright futures stolen from Libby and Abby. The prosecution painted a vivid picture of 2 innocent lives cut short and an unassuming killer hiding in plain sight. But the defense wasn't silent. They hammered home the idea that the state's case was riddled with holes, that the evidence was circumstantial at best. The jury heard it all, and still they convicted Allen. For a case that had captivated true crime enthusiasts and baffled investigators, the trial's resolution felt oddly unsatisfying. Sure, a man was held accountable, but was the jury swayed more by emotion than evidence? As Allen sat impassively during the reading of his verdict, some saw a man resigned to his fate. Others saw someone wrongfully convicted, his life unraveled by a broken system. So, the question remains: did justice prevail in Delphi, or will this verdict join the annals of controversial convictions? There's a nagging sense that this story isn't over. For now, though, the town of Delphi will have to grapple with its uneasy closure. The ink on the verdict was barely dry, yet whispers of a retrial were already gaining momentum. For all the dramatic weight of Richard Allen's conviction, the road to that courtroom was riddled with missteps and irregularities. Legal experts, defense attorneys, and even some observers in the true crime community were quick to point out the glaring issues that could very well unravel the case on appeal. Start with the bullet, the so-called smoking gun. It's a powerful image, an unspent .40-caliber cartridge found between the victims, tied directly to Allen's Sig Sauer handgun. The prosecution leaned heavily on forensic testimony, claiming tool marks on the bullet matched those from Allen's weapon. But ballistic evidence is far from infallible. The defense didn't just challenge its reliability, they called it downright flawed. No DNA, no fingerprints, just the bullet. That's thin for a case with such high stakes. Courts have overturned convictions on shakier ballistics than this, Then there's the confession. Or should we say confessions? 60-plus times, Allen reportedly admitted to the murders while behind bars. But under what conditions? Allen's defense painted a grim picture of his mental health in prison, deteriorating rapidly in isolation. His confessions were described as the desperate mutterings of a man under duress, not the calculated admissions of a guilty conscience. The defense had experts testify to Allen's fragile psychological state, but the jury didn't buy it. On appeal, however, this could be a critical factor. Were those confessions coerced by circumstance? If so, they could be ruled inadmissible in a retrial. The investigation itself was a procedural nightmare. A crucial tip from 2017 sat unnoticed for 5 years due to a clerical error. It was only discovered by chance when a volunteer clerk was digitizing records. This oversight raises serious questions about due diligence. How many other leads were mishandled? How many other suspects were overlooked? The defense hammered this point during the trial, but the jury seemed unmoved. Appellate courts, however, have been known to take a harsher view of such investigative failures. And let's not forget the legal drama surrounding Allen's defense team. In an unprecedented move, the trial judge removed Allen's attorneys, citing conduct issues, only for the Indiana Supreme Court to step in and reinstate them. This back and forth didn't just disrupt the defense's preparation, it may have tainted the entire process. A retrial could hinge on whether Allen's right to a fair trial was compromised by these disruptions. Even the trial's venue and jury selection raise eyebrows. The small, tight-knit community of Delphi was rocked by the murders. Finding impartial jurors who hadn't already formed strong opinions was a monumental challenge. The decision to bring in an out-of-county jury was a start, but did it go far enough? The intense media coverage, the emotional weight of the case, these factors could all come under scrutiny in an appeal. And then, there's the Odinism theory, the elephant in the room that never made it into court. The defense wanted to introduce evidence suggesting the murders were part of a ritualistic killing linked to a fringe sect of an ancient Nordic religion. The judge ruled it inadmissible, citing lack of direct evidence. But was that the right call? If the defense can argue that excluding this theory denied Allen a comprehensive defense, it could be another card to play in seeking a retrial. All these factors combined make one thing clear. This case is far from over. Appeals are not about re-arguing the facts, but about examining whether the process was fair and lawful. And on that front, Richard Allen's legal team has plenty to work with. A retrial seems not only possible, but likely. And if it happens, the spotlight will shine even brighter on the flaws that marred the original trial. That's all for now. We'll keep digging and getting you the facts. Thanks for listening, and be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our updates.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.